All right, so what does the Bible not say? Well, the first thing we can learn from Scripture is what it does not say. It is instructive to see that many of the devices used by philosophers to solve the problem of evil are just not in Scripture. They're just not there. And so
that's kind of a really interesting and important point, right? So we want to know what God, you know, how to deal with the problem of evil. And so let's come up with philosophical answers and never look at the Bible, or at least don't pay that much close attention to them.
Right. Right. Again, if you want to argue deistically for this God who doesn't reveal himself, who kind of has all of Anselm's qualities, but none of the qualifications, then that's one thing. And so you can explain evil in just kind of a haphazard way of like, well, you know, if this type of God exists, then maybe this is the answer. But you're treading on a lot of ground for the biblical Christian God. And so obviously here Frame wants to say, let's turn to Scripture. So common defenses against the problem may be divided into three general types. The first focuses on the nature of evil, and the second on the ways in which evil contributes to the overall good of the universe, and third on God's agency with regard to evil. So kind of three different ways that people kind of approach it, depending on kind of what their focus is. And so he's going to kind of break them down into those categories as well.
Good. So the first one then is the nature of evil. The idea here is the unrealitivity of evil defense. That's what he calls this, right? So evil isn't real. And he says some Eastern religions and Western cults, like Buddhism and Christian Science and so forth, maintain that evil is really an illusion, right? And it doesn't exist. He says even some respected Christian thinkers, such as Augustine, have suggested that evil be classified under the category of non-being. So Augustine does not quite, he tells us, mean to say that evil is an illusion, but rather that it is a privation, a lack of good being where good being ought to be. So it's a privation, it's a lack. Right. Still, Frame tells us that Augustine does use this idea to remove the responsibility from God. God creates all being, but he is not responsible for non-being, says Augustine. And therefore, you know, God then is not responsible for evil, which is a privation or non-being.
Right. So this is the, you hold up a white sheet of paper, you cut out a circle in the middle, and you say that evil exists in the empty space. So it's a lack of good rather than a thing that exists. So the whole itself doesn't exist in the sense that the surrounding paper does. It's the lack of having no paper there. So. All right, so these explanations are quite inadequate. There is no reason for us to think that evil is an illusion. Further, saying that it is plays games with words. For if evil is an illusion, it is a terribly troublesome illusion, an illusion that brings misery, pain, suffering, and death. So for something that doesn't exist, it has a lot of impact over all of human history, all of humanity, all the things that we understand, things breaking down, just death in and of itself. So this type of illusion seems to be a really powerful illusion. So if it's said that the pain is also illusionary, I reply that there is no difference between illusionary pain and real pain so far as the problem of evil is concerned. The problem just backs up a step, and how could a good God give us all such a terrible illusion of pain? Which is a pretty interesting way of taking it. So one great advantage of Scripture's viewpoint is that it doesn't play games with suffering people. In Scripture, evil is treated quite simply as something that we must deal with, whatever its metaphysical status is. Job, Moses, the miracles performed by Jesus on suffering people. There are healings that occur just for the sake of God demonstrating his power. But then there is also healings that are demonstrative that come with, this was done for God's glory. And so it's like, whoa, hold on. So this person was born blind, so that God can demonstrate his power. that seems to be more than just this illusionary non-being thing that exists in the world or doesn't right. exist in the world.
Right. So, you know, with regard to illusion, then, you know, he asked the question as you framed it there. What's the difference then between illusory pain and real pain, right? Seems all the same when you're going through it, right? And so, you know, and then we can ask the same question with regard to illusionary pain as we do with real pain, right? How could a good God give us all such a terrible illusion of pain, right? And so, yeah, this is kind of an interesting point. It really, it sidesteps the issue and it really doesn't answer the question for us.
Right.